make it a part of your daily life. We're starting a brand new series today called I Love My Church. I Love My Church. We're going to be talking about this for today and the next 4 weeks, and it's a good series to remind us of the fundamentals as we go into Easter. There are different kinds of places in your life. There are places that you have to visit in life, and there's places that you want to visit in your life. What I want to focus on for just a few moments this morning is the places you have to go in life. I'm not talking about Disney World. How many of you like Disney World? It's one of my favorite places on earth, right? That's a place you want to go. It's not a place you have to go. But if I were to say to you the dentist's office, not a place you want to go, but it's a place you have to go once in a while, right? We grow up. I didn't necessarily like school, but I had to go to school, right? Some people like school, but I wasn't one of those people. So I want to put up a place. I'm going to put up three places, and I want you to, well, one at a time, and I want you to tell me the first word, not two words, but the first word that pops into your mind, and we're going to write some of these down. Here's the first one, the DMV. What's the first word that pops into your mind? What?
Wait.
What was it?
Crowded.
Pain. I expect that for the dentist, but the DMV will take it because I've had painful experiences with the DMV. Anybody else?
Rage?
Rage. All right. Rage. All right. Okay, here's our next one. Ready? The doctor's office. The doctor's office. Wait.
Forever.
The eternal wait, we could say. Stress. What else? Sick. Expensive. We'll put two down for that, right? All right, here's our last one. Ready? The grocery store. The dreaded, dreaded grocery store. What do you think? Food?
Money?
Groceries get more and more expensive, don't they? Hungry? You are now anyway, right? It's getting closer to lunch. Anybody else?
So many
choices.
Discount.
Coupons. Gilligan.
Delegate.
Delegate. All right. All right. You know, we put up this list of words here, and they're not the most rave reviews, are they? Maybe the grocery store won out there, wouldn't you say? I mean, some of them are worse than others, but all three of them, as you can see, aren't places you necessarily might. I have to just tell you, I put the grocery store up there because I thought it was pretty common. I thought that would get, like, DMV reviews. My wife hates going to the grocery store. And we had a really great grocery store. Have you ever heard of the grocery store Publix? Everybody's heard of Publix, and it's nowhere even close to New York because it's a fabulous grocery store. You can love Publix, but in context, you really don't love Publix. You just love it more than you hate Albertsons, right? So, you know, it's just that kind of a contrast. But my wife didn't even like Publix. She just doesn't like to go to the grocery store. So none of these have, like, rave reviews. We don't love them. But occasionally you hear somebody, you know, loving something more than something else. But I wonder what people would say, and you don't have to answer this one out loud. I wonder what people would say if we stuck a picture of the church up on the screen. Maybe not South Bay Bible Church, maybe some elaborate, ornate church, but maybe some place that represents the church. I wonder what some people would say about that. Maybe people that haven't been to church in a really, really, really long time. Maybe people that have had some bad experiences at church. I wonder what they would say. Would they put it in the maybe have to go to once in a while list? Maybe it wouldn't be like the DMV or the grocery store, but still, I'm willing to guess that some would describe the church like we're describing the DMV today. I bet some of them would, wouldn't they? Some of them, because of their experiences, that wouldn't be too far from the truth. But is that what God intended for the church to be like? When He created the church, when He formed that in His mind and said and put the church in place, is that what He meant the church to be? I believe the Bible says no. I think God's plan for the church is maybe a little bit different than what a lot of our community feels the church is like. I believe that God wants us to actually love the church. In fact, the whole community to love the church. Not the church maybe we see in the news sometimes, or maybe we've experienced in the past, but love for the church that He intended for the church to be. And sometimes that can be pretty different. That's what this series is going to be. What we're going to learn is what God intended for the church to be when He formed it, when He created it. The church is people. How many of you saw Justice Scalia's funeral yesterday? Anybody see any part of that? I saw about the first half of it. And you know, I watched it, you know, and I intrigued me. And so I watched that and I saw that beautiful pipe organ. Did you see them enter and all of that? It's incredible. The architecture of that building, the great ceilings, and they're renovating it. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. And sometimes when people think of church, they think of an absolutely grand facility. Like, that's the church. Of course, the big steeple in town, that's the church. That's never what God intended. In fact, for the first 300 years or so, there were no buildings to call church. Church was people. Church was, is you. You are the church. And so this building has a church that meets in it, but it has no church significance as far as God is concerned. Take or leave the building, and we still could have church in a bowling alley. As funny as that might be, we could have it at our homes, and sometimes we have community groups, and we have church. In homes, we could have church in a restaurant. We could meet together. Sometimes we'll go outside. We don't even come in the building in the summertime, and we have church outside. So we are the church. People are the church. Never lose sight of that. So loving the church actually means loving the people that make up the church. Listen, here's a profound statement. I always tell you have a profound statement before I say it, in case for some reason you don't think it's so profound, right? So if we don't love people, we cannot love the church. Isn't that profound? If we don't love people, we cannot love the church. Now, I want to explain to you how the Bible uses the word church. Now, you'd agree with me that if you look in the New Testament, and I should have gotten the number because I'm a math guy, but I forgot till just I was preaching the first service. And I should have looked it up. The Bible uses the word church a lot, especially in the New Testament, right? So out of all the times the Bible uses the word church, only four times in the entire Bible is the word used for church that encompasses all universal believers everywhere. Everyone that's ever been saved, everyone that's believed Jesus Christ, it was coming in the Old Testament or has come in the New Testament or whatever. Every single believer is a part of the universal church. And out of all the times in the Bible that the term church is used, only four times, Jesus is coming again for His church, those types of references, only four times is it ever used to describe the universal church. Out of all the other times that the word church is used in the New Testament, it's always used to describe a local group of believers, an individual body of believers, like the church at Lydia's house, the church of Philippi, the church of Corinth, the church of Laodicea, the church of Philadelphia, the church of, you fill in the blank, South Bay Bible Church, a local group of people, a local body of believers. And some people get all hung up on that. I don't have to be a part of a local group. I'm a part of the universal church. Well, that's great, but God made the local church. He made a family of people that we have to belong to really grow rightly or correctly in our spiritual life. We need that fellowship. So I want to read that today, the verse in John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35. This is also our memory verse today. Memory verses, there's two this week, but you can do it, right? You got a good memory. You can do this. It says, "A new command I give you, love one another, period." So that's the command. Love one another. And then look at the next little phrase. I want you to underline this in your Bible. As I have loved you. So how are we supposed to love one another? As Jesus loved us. That's going to be significant in a few moments. As I have loved you, comma, so you should, right? You know me better than that. If I pause like that, there's something more to it than that. You must, right? Is this a suggestion?
No.
Okay, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Well, those are some great, profound verses. In fact, if you were with us just a few months ago, we took about, I think, 8 weeks to go through a series called Christian that took these two verses for our whole series. We looked at other verses, but that was our theme verse, the theme two verses for the entire series. And you can go online to our Learning Center and you can listen to the entire series of Christian online. And it's a great study. But this verse is a prelude of the church to come. The church will start in Acts, but here we find Jesus with a few of his disciples telling them, exhorting them, teaching them what this community is going to look at, how it's going to be different. You can join the Rotary. I'm a Rotarian. See my little Rotary pin. You can join a club at work. You can join the Kiwanis Club. You can join a lot of organizations. But the church is supposed to have this particular characteristic, to love one another. In fact, guys, this is how they're going to know that you are part of the church, that you belong to me, that you not only love one another, but that you love one another as I have loved you. That's going to be the hallmark difference. That's going to make you Christian. All right, so there's our instructions for the church that God intends to build in the book of Acts. And there's his instructions to his disciples, telling them how his followers are going to be known, what their reputation in the community is going to be. He's creating this new thing called the church. They will be people known for their love for one another, a love just as Christ loved them. Church people are meant to love one another. It's not optional. It's not elective. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not a take it or leave it buffet. We have to take the love part, right? But what does that mean? What does it mean to love one another as Christ loved us? When we say that we are to love the church as God intended it to be, what does that mean to love? 2 weeks ago, we went to this Mexican restaurant. I love Mexican food. It's probably my favorite food. I mean, I like Italian. I love Mexican. You see the difference. I mean, I like, you can tell, a lot of food. But Mexican is one of my favorites. I should have been born in Mexico, you know, but I wasn't. So we haven't found, in Florida, they have great Mexican restaurants on every corner. I mean, authentic, really great restaurants. And we've had trouble finding a really good Mexican restaurant around here. We've been to all of them, a lot of them, and we found one in the city that was fabulous and so on, but we kept searching. Well, about a year ago, we came across this restaurant in Patchogue called, get this name, it's kind of a silly name, I grant it, Mexican Grill 2000. What kind of name is that, right? So Mexican Grill 2000, we look on Yelp, that's Yelp, everybody use Yelp, I love Yelp. And Yelp is a thing that gives reviews. And not only when you Yelp, you want to find a restaurant with lots of reviews and a lot of good reviews. And Mexican Grill 2000, it's even hard to say off the tongue. I don't even know it had any bad reviews. So a year ago, we're like, yes, we're going to go try this grappolette. It's great. And we pull up in Patchogue to this strip center. We're going, where is this restaurant at? And we drive around the corner and we see that. And we actually thought, we're not going in there. It's kind of dumpy, you know. It's this hole in the wall, little tiny thing, a table or two. We weren't even sure they had a table. You know, you can't see in the window because they're dirty. And just, we're not going there, right? And we've done some experiences in Atlanta, inner city, and we've done some stuff. And we've been prosperity dumpling in the city, best dumplings in the world. You would never go in there. It's just gross, right? So we chicken out. We drive. We find another place. Miserable, you know, not good food, so on. So we come home, And we're still searching, looking around. And about 2 weeks ago, we decided, after looking at Yelp again, more great reviews, no bad reviews, excellent food, excellent fish tacos, all of this stuff, we decide, let's take the plunge. We can do this. So we drive over to Patchogue. We have lunch. And the food is spectacular. Mexican food, great Mexican. I met the dad that owns the place. I met the son that checked us out at the cash register. We're talking to them. And the fish tacos are, I mean, I've been at some expensive Mexican places, like in the city, the best fish tacos we've ever had, ever. My chicken fajita was perfect food. Y'all are getting hungry, aren't you? See there? Mexican Grill 2000 in Patchogue. It's good. It's really good. All right? So now it's become one of my favorite restaurants. We might go there after the service today. All right?
Okay.
I love that restaurant. Now, most of you know I have three boys. If you're new with our church, I have three sons, 17, 18, and 21. They're all on vacation. They're all driving back right now. And so my oldest son, 21, he just got married in August. All right? And he moved out of the house. First son to move out of the house, right? And that's a good thing. I mean, we're supposed to raise our kids up to move out. And so I was laying in bed the other night, and my 18-year-old, senior in high school, Center Merchants High, I was laying in bed the other morning. You know, you wake up and you just kind of lay there for a few minutes, and I was thinking, February, March, April, May, June, July. I have 5.5 months with Craig and he's gone. And it just hit me all of a sudden. And I rolled over to Kim. I said, are you awake? Yeah, I'm just laying here. I said, we only have 5.5 months with Craig and he's gone to college. He's out of the nest. We're done. And we just kind of had that moment. And she said, that means we only have 1 year and 5 months with our baby. And she starts crying, and that's Stephen, and that's our youngest. And I'm like, oh, you know, we're going to face a big change in our life. The empty nest is coming to your pastor's home, and we've got to deal with this, you know. And we're both getting emotional and both going through this. And the reason I tell this story is I love my sons. So what do we mean when we say, I love my church? What does it mean to love one another? Does God want us to love one another like my experience at the Mexican restaurant? Or does God want us to love one another like my experience, my love for my sons? With the restaurant, I was expecting something to be given to me. I would give something in return, but I was expecting a good bargain for my money. A place to offering me something of value that I wanted to have. The restaurant fed me and provided a moment that I could participate in with them. If the experience was excellent, then I could Yelp it. I didn't Yelp it. I'm not a big Yelper on that end. I just like to read the reviews. I don't write many. But I could write. I could Yelp it if I wanted to. I could tell others of the experience, right? I could share. And if the experience was bad, I could Yelp that one. And I could share that experience, right? I could tell you guys or whatever. With my sons, I experienced something infinitely more. Very important relationship between us. My sons are people that I'm intrinsically connected with, regardless of what happens in our lives. My love for them is not based on what I'm receiving, and it's not based on what I'm experiencing. It goes far deeper than that. It's based on who they are. It's based on a relationship. We go through, because I love them, I care for them, I spend time with them, we live life together, we communicate with one another, and you know that journey might bring about some great times, and that journey might bring about some times that aren't so wonderful. You've experienced that probably, haven't you, with your family? And when that journey doesn't turn out so great, what do? Do we quit? No, we work through those things, don't we? I don't yelp or rate my sons, you know. I love them on a different level than I would the restaurant. The church was never, ever designed or meant or conceived to be like a restaurant. Never. That was never God's intention for it. It was meant to be relationships. This begins first and foremost with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And through that relationship with Jesus Christ, we're connected with Him. And through that relationship with Jesus Christ, we're connected to one another. Different than the Rotary. Different than the Kiwanis. Different with every other organization. We got about 150 people that come here over about a 6-week period that we minister to overall. Okay, not everybody comes every week. You know all of that deal. So about 155 people or so that we minister to. And if you got all of them in a room together and we spent some time together, you know, if we didn't have Christ, we would have little things, factions and stuff going on. But because we have this relationship with Christ and He connects us together, we should have that thing in common, that relationship with Christ in common that transcends every other secular organization, or that's what God meant for the church to be. So the step number one to being connected with the church, to being connected with each other, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, what keeps us from a relationship with Jesus Christ is simply sin. Sin is transgression of God's law. If you've been here for any length of time, you've heard this a million times because we're always going through it for the sake of those who are new with us. But sin is transgression of the law. If you've ever told a lie, God says, thou shalt not lie. You've lied, right? If you've stolen anything, thou shalt not steal. That's a violation of God's law. If you've looked at Jesus came and He did not quash the law. He did not put it underneath Him. He amplified the law. He made it greater. And He said, the Bible says not to have an adulterous relationship. But I say to you, if you look at a woman with lust, it's the same as committing adultery in your heart. So He took it to a whole new level. The law says, do not murder. And I went, oh, thank God I haven't done that one. But Jesus came and He amplified the law. And He said, if you have hatred in your heart, guilty, it's the same as murder. Thanks, Jesus. I appreciate that one. And if you've had hatred in your heart, if you've been angry without cause, it's the same as murder. He amplified the law. He made it greater. If you've coveted your neighbor's property, if you've blasphemed the name of the Lord or used His name in vain, if you've dishonored your parents, if you haven't kept the Sabbath, if you've broken any one of those laws, it's the same as breaking them all. And the truth is, if we look at ourselves in truth, we are lawbreakers. And the penalty for sin is death. That's the penalty for sin. But Jesus came. God so loved the world that He came and He died on the cross. We broke the law and Jesus paid our fine. If we were in a courtroom and the judge said, your fine is $1 million, and we couldn't pay it, we would go to jail. Well, God said the penalty for breaking my law is death. And Jesus came and He never sinned. And He paid the death penalty for sin. So the Bible says if we believe on Him, we can be forgiven of the sins we've committed. Because if we die in our own sins and we want to pay for them ourselves, that's called justice. That's the right thing. But since Jesus paid for sin and had no sin to pay for, we can accept that payment on our behalf. God will accept that payment on our behalf. So the Bible says in order to be saved, to have a relationship with God, you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. Doesn't say you have to pray a certain number of words. It doesn't say you have to have a religious ceremony. It doesn't say you have to be dunked in water. We're going to dunk some people in water next week, but that's not required. It doesn't say you have to go through a confessional at church or go in front of a certain person and be confirmed. It doesn't say any of that. It says you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. See, God didn't overcomplicate things. God is a relatively simple. He keeps things simple because we would add to it and complicate it. We already do that. And That's not what God wants. So Jesus, we broke the law and Jesus paid our fine. And if we'll simply believe that, He would pay our fine for us and we can go free on Judgment Day. Our sins will be forgiven. And that's how we have that relationship. Jesus loved us and brought us into a relationship with Himself. His death on the cross was an act of love for us. Earlier in John, we are told that it was because God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us, that we might have life, real life. That He intentionally loved us and intentionally served us. And that's so important because that goes back to our scripture this morning. That piece that I had you underline, it says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And what did Christ come? He come, showed up on earth and started barking orders and have everybody serve Him. He could have, right? He is God. He could have done that. But He didn't. He did not come to be served. He said He came to serve. He came to lay His life down as a ransom for many. He did not come to take His life up and make all these demands and serve His own selfish interests. He certainly could have, but He didn't. He came to love us and serve us and gave His own life up for us. And so that becomes the example of how we as a church are to love one another. And through that relationship, we are not only in a relationship with Jesus, but also in a relationship with one another. That's the basis of our relationship together. Being in a relationship with Jesus means being a part of the church, part of the kingdom of God, part of a family of faith. Not just being in an abstract sense of the world fellowship of Christians that a lot of people get confused on. I don't have to belong to a bad experience in a church, and I don't have to belong to a local church because I'm a part of the body of Christ. But that's only mentioned 4 times in the Bible, and that's not God's priority. The local church is God's priority so that we can collectively, you know what? We can do more together than we can ever do apart or by ourselves. And God knew that. And if we can't live together on earth and get along with one another on earth, heaven's going to be a miserable place. Have you ever thought about that? So He wants us to practice right now, and the local church is so important. This body of Christ. Many people treat the church like a restaurant, though, don't they? If the experience isn't just to their liking, they'll find somewhere else to go, or worst of all, they'll not go at all. Have you ever met someone like that? This is beyond unfortunate. It sets up expectations for the church that the church was never, ever intended to fulfill. Also, we have to be honest here. This isn't relationship focused, is it? This type of a restaurant love is more self-focused than relationship focused. This isn't loving as Jesus loved. This restaurant love, as I see it, it's as I see it. It's as I am comfortable with it. And it's for my own personal pleasure or gain or what I can get out of it, not what I can give, not as Christ was serving and giving and laying His life down. That's the other kind of love. The church isn't supposed to be a restaurant type of love at all. You will experience a love for the church when you intentionally use what God has given you to be actively loving other people in the church. You will have a deep sense of love for the church when you actively and intentionally practice that love that God has given you. Is it easy? Not usually, but you grow through it. The opposite is also true. When you don't intentionally love the church, then you will not experience the love for the people in the church. We will not love the church when it's all about relationships. Not when it's like a restaurant, what we can get out of it. So what does it look like to intentionally love the church? What does it look like to be in community with other God-fearing, God-loving people? Well, that's what the rest of this series is all about. There's 4 parts in it. If you'll turn your bulletins to the page after the calendar, there's some sermon notes for today. And there's 4 aspects of the next 4 weeks. We're going to next week cover love by connecting. Being in community and fellowship and relationship with each other, is more than knowing people's names, as important as I believe that is. It's more than knowing where someone sits on Sunday morning, as important as that might be. We love one another when we stand alongside of one another. Yet this being connected with one another means that no one of us is ever standing alone. We always have someone standing with us wherever we're at. That's what we'll talk about next week. The week after is love by serving. God has given each one of His followers, and if you're a follower of Jesus, God has given you supernatural empowerments or abilities to encourage and help each other, specifically the community of believers inside the church, to edify the church. That's why we were given these supernatural gifts. Did you know you had superpowers? You do! And that week we're going to talk about your superpowers. And you can have a big S on your shirt that week if you want. The week after, we're going to talk about giving. And we're probably not the way you would expect. We're not going to mention tithing. We're not going to mention percentages. None of that. We're just going to be no ill-planned guilt trips that you give more. Listen, you guys are already great givers because we've done a lot of teaching on it and you've obeyed God's Word and so on. We're going to talk about giving as an indicator of the love for the church. And that's a whole different mindset. You'll like that sermon, I promise you. Love for sharing, love by sharing. The love that Jesus gives to us and that we can have for one another is never to be hoarded inside the church. Do you realize, church, that you may be the only Jesus that this community ever sees? We can't keep that to ourselves. That's the love of God being shared through us to a lost world. We can't keep that to ourselves, and we're going to talk a lot about that in the last week of this, right before Easter, mind you. So I invite you to stick with us for the next 4 weeks as we look at the various ways that we can intentionally love the church as we see what God intended for the church to really be like. And if you're with us today, you're not a Jesus church, God church person. You're just here because somebody promised you lunch today and you thought, well, I better come and go to church first and all of that. We're glad you're here. But if you've been hurt by the church somewhere along the line, you know, some people have had some really bad experiences. Anybody seen the movie Spotlight? Anybody seen that? That's about in the early 2000, 2001, where that whole thing came out about the church and all the molestation. It's a true story, and it's about all of the political stuff that was going on. Well, it's an incredible story, but it's so sad, heartbreaking. And a lot of people, thousands of people, were involved in just that one thing. And if you were hurt by the church in some way or another, and maybe Protestant, Catholic, it doesn't matter, that the church is the church, and you know, we one tarnishes, one little thing tarnishes the whole thing. Maybe somebody took your grandma's money, whatever it was. If that's you, you've been hurt by the church at some time in your life, I just want to tell you personally, that hurts me. And I'm sorry that happened to you. I may not have been directly involved. Maybe I did something stupid, and maybe I was involved, whatever, I don't know, but listen, I want to tell you, I'm sorry, because that is never what God intended the church to be. And I'm really sorry if that affected you some way and the church has been negative in your experience. I want you to know that that's not what God had. So, why not come for the next 4 weeks and see what God intended the church to be like? And that you'll learn a lot about what God wants the church to be. And what God had in mind when He birthed the church in Acts. So I invite you to come and be a part of it and see what the church was supposed to be like. So there are a couple of things I want to challenge you with today. First one is community groups. If you're not in a community group, a number of you are in a community group, I want to challenge you to get a part of a community group. You can go on our website to the second column, get involved, and down there is Grow. And Grow, as you click on that, and there's a Starting Point community group coming up. There's a new college and career group that's meeting. There's a couple Saturday night groups. There's a Wednesday night, two Wednesday night groups and some others. And you can get plugged into a community group. You just show up. You don't even need a reservation. You can let me know and I can contact the leader and tell him. But there's groups that you can get involved in. And as the church grows larger, it's got to grow smaller at the same time. And we'll be talking about that more as we go through this series. But we push community groups a lot because they're going to, you may not know everybody in the church, but you can know 8 or 10 or 12, 15 people, and you can live life with them. We're never meant to live this life alone. We're supposed to live in community. When Adam was created, everything was great, right? And God said, it's good. It's good. And then he said, it's not good that man's alone. And he created Eve. And we praise God for that, don't we, men? But it's not good for man to live alone. We need to be in community. So get to be a part of a community group. I challenge you to do that. And secondly, after we kind of planned the soup supper tonight, soup, chili, salad, and so on, drinks and dessert tonight. The church is going to provide the salad and the drinks and the dessert. So you just bring your favorite bowl of chili or soup. And if you don't want to bring anything, you come. We'll have lots of leftovers anyway. And bring in a crock pot. We'll have lots of plugs to plug that crock pot in to keep it hot, you know, for tonight. But part of it, do you know there's a whole other church that meets here? It's called our 9 o'clock service. And sometimes you come to one service, you don't come to the other, and you don't even know more than half the people of the church. This is a great time where you'll meet people from both services. Maybe there's some people sitting across the church you've never met or talked to. You can get connected with them. So this soup supper is kind of planned to kick off this I Love My Church series, and we want you to come tonight and be a part of that. Also, next week, between the two services, we have a fellowship time, and we have little cupcakes next week with a red heart on them for the I Love My Church series. And that's, again, another social so that you can connect with people, because that's what this series is all about. If you're going to love people, if you're going to love the church, you have to love the people of the church and in the church. So make a point to be a part of both of those fellowships. If you'll take your communication card and turn it over to the back side, you'll see some next steps there. And we believe that the Christian life is a series of next steps. The first one is to memorize John 13:34-35, that little verse today that we went about love and what Jesus said disciples are supposed to be like. Put that in your arsenal and tuck that away in your long-term memory and memorize that. If God's been talking to you, we mentioned community groups a lot here. If God's been talking to you about a community group, maybe God wants you to use your home to host a community group, or he's saying maybe you should lead one, or maybe you should be a part of a community group, see how it works for a while. I want to encourage you to check that box, and we'll communicate with you about a community group that you can belong to, or you can just go on our website and find one. They're all listed there, and you can be a part of the community groups there. The third one's kind of a silly thing. I mean, it's a serious thing, too, but it's a conversation starter out in public. You can get a bumper sticker. There's right out in the foyer and apply. We put ours on our glass of our car. It scrapes off easy with a razor blade. You can apply a new one later. We put it on the black. You have to be careful to really scrape it on good because it's an outline of the church logo. But it also helps you through driving. You can't put that sticker on and drive bad. I don't know if you know that, but you know, they know where you go to church then. So don't give us a bad reputation if you're a bad driver. But you can love your church that way, you know, that's another thing. And then join us for all 4 weeks of the I Love My Church series. So if you mark that, we'll be praying for you that things don't come up that you can be a part of. If you've missed one, you can catch it online. And also join us for these socials, the soup dinner and also the treats next Sunday between the services at 10:15. So if you believe Jesus, today you came in and you weren't sure that you would die and go to heaven, and you realize today for the first time, yeah, I have sinned, and Jesus did pay for my sin, and something clicked in you today. That's the Holy Spirit working in your heart. I want you to check the box over here. I want to let you know on the right-hand side of the card, today I trust Jesus as my Savior for the first time, or I recommitted my life. And if you check one of those boxes, we'll send you a new believer packet out this week. It has a Bible study and some helps that will help you. And if you'll check that, we'll make sure we get that out to you. Lord, we love you today. We praise you. We're so thankful for your Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us to love the church, to love the people, being connected with Christ first and foremost, and Lord, being connected by the connection through Christ to the rest of the body of Christ in this specific body of believers. Help us grow in faith. Help us grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us grow in You. Help us be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in truth. Help us continue to reach out to this community, grow in serving, grow in giving, grow in all these areas, Lord, for Your glory. And Lord, help us be the church. In Jesus' name, amen. As we prepare to receive the offering today, this is the time where you turn in those communication cards. So get prepared for that. And if our ushers could come, we'll receive the offering this morning. And I have just a couple of quick announcements, and we'll do our benediction. So come on up and we'll pray for the offering. Lord, we pray for this offering, both the gift and the giver, and pray that You would multiply it 100 times, not only in the treasury of the church, so we can do a lot of outreach with it, God, but also in the pocketbooks of those who are giving. Help them, Lord, just multiply that so they can give even more and be faithful with what You've given. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, gentlemen, and we'll, as they're receiving the offering today, we want to just tell you, if you're a first-time guest with us today, thank you so much for coming and being a part of our church. It means so much to us. And we want to remind you of the book, A Case for Christ, that you can pick up on your way out. We don't embarrass you by helping you stand up or say your name or anything like that. So you can pick that up on your way out. We also have I Love My Church invite cards out there. They look like the poster behind me. And you can pick those up and invite somebody with you for the 4 parts of the church that we'll be covering. In addition to that, we have the concert invite cards. The concert's coming up in a couple of weeks, March 12th, I think. So there's invite cards out there with a guitar on them. There's more than the guitar, but that's what's on there. And you can reach out to people. That's a great event. It's standing room only, so you'll want to get here early for those seats. But be inviting your friends and family to those. All right, if you stand up with us, we'll have our benediction. Lord God, we love You today and praise You. Thank You for bringing us all out today. We pray, Lord, that You would help us take the Word of God that was given to us today and apply it to our life. Help us love as Jesus loved. Help that be our distinguishing mark. We love You today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.